Very beautiful, Chris. And I used to be a songwriter, and you're inspiring me. All right. So what's our theme for 2018? We still have calendars, and we still have bookmarks. And a lot of today's lesson will be about our two books of the month, The Mystic Heart and The Untethered Soul. So now about you. Are you awakening? And if you've hesitated, maybe it's because you don't believe that that's possible. Or maybe it's because you don't feel worthy. Or maybe you're confused by what that actually means. Or maybe you're just not committed to it yet. But wherever you are on your divine journey, you're in the perfect place. You are. If you're unsure of awakening, well, let me begin with my purpose is to inspire and empower you. And of course, we say the Center for Spiritual Living, CHICO, inspiring, empowering, and transforming. But I can't walk a mile in your moccasins. I can inspire, try to inspire and empower. But it's you that has to do the practice. And that spiritual practice can be lots of different things. Sometimes we limit that spiritual practice to mean, well, maybe you're just not comfortable praying. Maybe you're just not sure about praying. But there are many more options. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. If you are conscious, and I assume you are, you wouldn't be here, you can be awakened. And ultimately, whatever your practice is, your practice is about being aware, mindfulness, being present in the moment. So, in the last about 2 weeks, my spiritual practices have included the following, and these are just ideas for you. Of course, spiritual mind treatment, the prayer that I am hired but honored to do for all of you. I've been reading The Mystic Heart and The Untethered Soul to allow me to understand on how I can go deeper. I've attended a meditation retreat last weekend at Spirit Rock, a wonderful retreat place in Marin County. Highly recommend it and can talk some more about that. This particular meditation retreat was relaxed and awake. I've watched the YouTubes of Michael Singer, who also has a second book, maybe that's for next year, called The Surrender Experiment, and to listen to him speak, which has been amazing, particularly since I had chosen the title, yes, based on the book, The Untethered Soul, Untethered and Soaring, today's lesson. And let me ask, how many of you are doing the Oprah and Deepak Chopra 21-day meditation? Oh, not as many as I thought. Highly recommend. It's a free app to download. And every 3 months or so, they do 21 days of meditation. Always some beautiful, wonderful nuggets to share there. Yesterday, I ran in the park, also walked in the park. Over and over, nature can be the space where you do your spiritual practice to just be present. And of course, our philosophy did come through being influenced by the Transcendentalists, Emerson, and Thoreau. And that leads into the book, The Civil Disobedience, which I know you've all heard. And being also at the March of Our Lives. And I want to talk a little bit about that in a second. I also presented a session at the CHICO State Sustainability Conference. The title was Self-Leadership for resilience and well-being, and the room was packed. They wouldn't let more students in, and there was probably about 60 students there. And yesterday I ran into Michael and James. Sue and I went to see the movie Love, Simon. Anybody seen that yet? Ah. The two in the front row. I have to tell you that it touched me very deeply. It's the story about a boy coming out in high school that he's gay. Of course, very personal for all of us. All of these things are awakening me, causing deeper contemplation about love and life. It deepens my awareness and allows me to practice the deep awareness of my being. At the March of Our Lives, there were, of course, high school students who spoke. And I had told Sue while we walked over to the park, you know, I'm really interested in hearing how these students express their truth. I'm really interested in how they are coming to empower themselves, how they are choosing to speak up for themselves. Of course, very touching to listen to them talk about how they have been impacted. And of course, my partner Sue is a junior high teacher, and you know, it's disturbing to say, wow, where have we come when we're talking about keeping our kids safe in school? And how important it is that you cannot learn. I mean, this is a neuroscience thing. You cannot learn if you're in fear, because your amygdala is firing off, which is in the sort of center of your brain here. And you cannot bring, you know, focus on learning with your prefrontal cortex if you're in that fear. And then Sue reminded me, well, and it's not even being there in that fear, but for many of them, it's also their home life. So now they can go nowhere without being in constant fear. This 15-year-old, and I don't remember her name, I wished I would have recorded what she had to say, and I realized she doesn't know it, but she's already awakened. She basically spoke how she was in her car while her dad was filling up the car with gas, when she was going through her phone and first saw 14 students killed in Parkland. And she said she kept scrolling and said to herself, I'll look at that later. And then realized, why? Wait, why do I want to look at that later? And so then went back to it and began to ask herself questions about what she was actually reading. What I'm trying to say to you is she became aware. And then when she became aware, began to inquiry about what this really meant for her. And I have to tell you, her speech was incredibly impactful. And I wished I could repeat that for you. But I can tell you that she moved herself deeply within herself. And what she had to say came from a very deep, authentic expression about how she realized, yes, I can speak up. I can say something, and I can work with my peers because I want to make a difference. I was like, you're already there. You don't need to come here. Matter of fact, can I listen to you some more? I also know that I don't think Annalisa is here today. Annalisa happened to be in an Uber where a senior from PV said, I'm really looking for a safe place in order to be able to share. And I thought to myself, how can we be that? And I'm still contemplating that.
Is that at the March for Our Lives?
The woman, yes. The gentleman was an Uber driver. Yeah. Okay. So let me also say with the movie Love, Simon, you know, if we can take ourselves back to before we ever fell in love, I can speak personally for myself that if you're a heterosexual You never have to question your sexual identity. You just do what society knows you do. However, when you start to, now again, remember, when you've never fallen in love before, you start thinking, does everybody think this? Is this just me? And of course, some people would say, at least in my time, and again, you know, 30 years ago or more, you choose that. And I kept saying to myself, no, I'm not choosing that. And of course, at that time, I had been, I was raised Catholic, and hence it was, why would God put me in a situation to see that I'm being attracted to women and yet tell me that that is morally wrong? I'm not hurting anybody. Matter of fact, I'm loving somebody. Now, of course, it's very different times, but the cruelty or the things that can happen regarding bullying, etc., based on somebody being outed, not on their own. And then, I don't want to ruin the movie for you, but they had a couple scenes of teenagers coming out to their parents that they were heterosexual. And this one African-American woman's like, oh, no! But, you know, that was a very scary time to me to be talking to my parents based on knowing the Catholicism belief at that time and what they wanted people to practice or not practice on that. And I, too, had a very understanding family and continue to this day, which, you know, it was very scary to think because, you know, there are college students today whose parents basically just write them out of their lives. And lots of other particular things happening with people who choose to share with others their identity and then how they are labeled and judged for that. So I'll talk a little bit more about how those things apply as I get a little bit deeper. But you know that nobody can do your spiritual practice but you. And I still have people sometimes saying, what is your sermon on? And I like to say, well, I don't really like to call it a sermon. I like to call it a lesson. And you know, I sort of have to stand in my integrity because when I teach faculty in the CSU, I basically say, step down from being a sage on the stage and please become a guide on the side. And so I want to say to all of you that I want to be the guide on the side, that I want to walk with you. So, really quick about the Mystic Heart, which was the February book of the month. You know, I know that for some of you, you may have thumbed through the book and felt like if you look up front, it starts out a little academic and chewy. But the more you read the book, the better it gets. In the end, it starts to summarize each religion's peak experience. And although this was written in 1999, more than 60 years after Ernest Holmes wrote the Science of Mind textbook, Wayne Teasdale comes up with the word interspirituality. And he basically talks about, well, all spirituality is about how we practice our relationship to life, to self with a small s, and self with a large s. It matters not the pathway, because it all leads to the same hub of the wheel. It's just different spokes. And what's nice for all of us, that if we can practice not clinging and being deeply attached to a particular creed or dogma, we can open up our heart and mind and start to see ourselves and our practice, our spirituality, from like the rainbow of life. So many choices, so many ways to see this and experience my beingness. And this is a quote from the book, "We are all mystics. Mystical experience is always there if we're open to it." Even the spring weather today, as you walk through nature, just listening to the birds sing, it's just delicious. All right, The Untethered Soul, and we are, of course, on the last week of this book by Michael Singer. And he very distinctly and eloquently describes that since the time of us being born, we've been defined by outer things. Our name, our family, our things, our pain, our emotions, our thoughts. But that's not really who we are. You are not the pain that you feel. You are not the feelings that you feel. You might be saying, hey, wait a minute. Because what we've learned to do is to identify with this body and think that the spirit is inside the body. But really, the body is inside the spirit. And when we identify with our pain, you know, this is my pain, identifying with that body, whether mentally, emotionally, physically. But really, you are the awareness behind all of that. So I like to call that awareness the witness with the capital W. If I asked you, what have you been thinking in the last 10 or 15 minutes? Something in your mind is able to share with you that you were aware of what you were thinking. Consciousness. You are the consciousness witnessing the outer, whether that be your body or whatever you identify with. So I was at Spirit Rock again. Highly recommend going there. It's a beautiful place set in the foothills, walking paths. The building itself that you meditate in has lots of windows, hardwood floors, just beautiful. So you actually get the feeling of spaciousness. Because really that's what we are. And science will tell you that, right? That while you look at me and you may think I'm mostly made up of matter, scientists will tell you, no, the molecules and the atoms and all of that are mostly have space in them. Spaciousness. I also like to say that, you know, when you hear a song, like Chris's song, he didn't play all the notes at once and say, there's the song. It was a variety of notes that came and gone with different rests in between. And our life, the ups and downs, the ins and outs with spaces in between. I know when I first started meditating years ago, it was like, why am I doing this? I had to convince myself to sit down for 5 minutes. Because I thought my who I was my doing. And oh, I've become so aware of how much, especially in the United States, and of course I work at the university, how much we live in our head. Everything is about what we're thinking in our head. So I'm going to do a spiritual practice here. You'll make yourself comfortable and close your eyes if you're comfortable with that. And I just want you to breathe and become aware of your toes. Breathe and become aware of the bottom of your feet. Breathe and become aware of your ankles. Breathe and become aware of your knees. Of your gut. Of your internal core. Breathe and become aware of the sensations in your arms, your hands, your shoulders, your neck, your head, your face, your spine. And now become aware of your heart, what you feel today. How do you feel in this moment? And now become aware of your mind. Does it feel scattered or rushed or impatient? And if you'll take a deep breath and come back into the room. How many dimensions did you just go through? You know, I say to myself, wow, talk about the ego mind. The ego mind thinks I am whatever I think, and there's so many more parts of me. And how often are we checking in with the other parts of us? How aware are we becoming of the whole? Allowing the witness, allowing the consciousness and the awareness that we are to recognize where we're at in this moment. Because there's a lot of wisdom within us if we choose to allow that wisdom to rise. And the way I like to think about this is, you know, when you walk up to a pond and you can actually see the beautiful reflection. What happens when you throw a rock in it? The ripple happens and you don't quite see, right? Well, our nature is that pond, that peace that you feel at the pond. And then we're throwing all kinds of thoughts and emotions and things throughout the day. And we're not valuing the time to sit and allow that pond to come back to the peaceful nature, which is where the wisdom rises within us. Where the teacher of your wisdom is. And this is another reason why I don't like to call it a sermon, because I can't tell you what's right for you. Your teacher is within. But that means you have to be willing to sit or do your spiritual practice, whatever that may be, to hear that wisdom. And that's why I think you're here in community, because for me, it's a lot easier to practice the spiritual aspects on a more regular basis if I have a community that's doing it with me, right? Because there's a oneness and a connectedness there in all of that. So Michael Singer, later in his book, says, there's really only one choice every day. And he does say, keep it simple. You know what the choice is? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be happy? Yes. So if you do your spiritual practice, are events going to stop happening in your life? So there's no guarantee that new things are going to pop up in your life, right? And when they don't make you happy, we begin to qualify that we want to be happy. Yeah, but this is happening, and that's happening, and this is happening. And Michael Singer says that really unconditional happiness, if we have vowed happiness, to that. Unconditional happiness is the highest technique and truly a spiritual path, as it is the direct path and a sure path to awakening. But it means you have to be committed to it regardless of what shows up on the outside, which means practicing being the witness that, yes, you are aware of what's happening, but you are not the reaction to what's happening, your thoughts to what's happening, the pain is to what's happening. You are the consciousness, the witness behind all of that. And you have a choice to allow those things that trigger you to witness them, breathe through them, and allow them to move. Because the one thing that we know is things just keep moving. This too shall pass. But I know with immediate feedback technologies, it's like, but I want it now. Because we think that in the moment that we want it now, now we're attaching to what we want, and we want it a particular way, and if it doesn't show up that way, there goes that happiness. So I'm going to ask you, how is this attached to science of mind? Anybody? So if you believe on the outside conditions, then you will be following the outside conditions and think that you are that or the reaction to all of that. And we know that science of mind says, no, you are of divine spirit. You are infinite intelligence. You are the unconditional love. But we have to go back to that awareness. I like to think about this as, how do you like being on the top of a mountain? You get to see so many things. But sometimes we get stuck in that valley where there's messiness and muddiness, and then we get attached to what's there. And then we start to try to control the outside. But where do we need to spend our time? Identifying ourselves with the witness and the awareness of that which is happening. So how is this attached to science of mind? Well, you know, I'd tell people to go back to our YouTube channel, because what we've talked about today is the thing itself, the consciousness, the witness, the divinity that you are. Talked a little bit about the way it works, what it does, and how to use it. And of course, there are science of mind classes. Reverend Christine has been teaching one, and that one will end soon, and we'll be starting another one. And I also want to say that really, you know, I know there's a lot of books, and if you're not a reader, then reading a book a month might seem like a lot, but I can't say enough about this particular book in the very simple way that he describes how to change your identity to be more about the truth of who you are, that witness, that love, that joy, that peace. And to, I had to ask myself, is this separation? Because in the book, as you become more aware of your consciousness and being the witness, then you're sort of separating from all that drama and everything that's happened in the outside, right? And then I realized, no. What I'm doing is reestablishing myself as the one, the witness. And yes, what happens in life is also one, but that doesn't mean I need to be drugged down the road behind the car where things are happening. Now, I'm not invalidating that there are things in us to be healed, meaning there are things that trigger us. And whatever triggers us is, again, where we need to go with our spiritual practice in getting peaceful and quiet. and allowing the wisdom within us to observe and then to ask the question, what is it that needs to be healed? And you have the power to heal yourself. And again, you have to believe that. So I'm knowing that for each of you, as you come into the awareness of being the oneness and the divinity that you are, that indeed you will become untethered from the outer conditions and you will soar. Namaste.